And turn your Bibles to the book of Jonah, chapter 3. And as you're turning there, we've finally reached that last chapter in our study through the book of Jonah. And as we bring this message to a close, I just want to highlight a few points to think about. In the entire book of Jonah, God never tells us anything about Jonah's past, nor does God tell us anything about Jonah after his visit, after his message and his trip to this great city of Nineveh. But we certainly have learned quite a bit about Jonah over these past few weeks as we've looked through these first three chapters in the book of Jonah. And this morning, we're going to learn even more as we look through this final chapter. Now, in our last message, we saw that Jonah finally reached the city of Nineveh, and he begins walking through that great city, preaching the message that God wanted him to preach in the first place. Finally, he delivers a message, and that message is of repentance. Repent, Jonah preached, for God has determined 40 days upon this city before he pours out his judgment and his wrath upon their sins. This message was plain, it was powerful, and it was very personal. And the people of Nineveh responded, the Bible tells us, with a great revival. And that included even the king. That's important for us to understand. A nation's leader sets the tone for that nation's morality. When Jonah preached repentance, it reached all the way to the king, and the king changed his heart, and it filtered down through the entire city. And as a result of their repentance, the Bible tells us that God relented from pouring out his wrath and judgment, and instead, he poured out his mercy and his grace upon the people of Nineveh. Now, I want us to see Jonah's response to all of this. Let's pick up in that last verse in chapter 3, kind of to set the stage, and then we'll read through chapter 4. Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord, and he said, "Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Then the Lord said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry?" So Jonah went out of the city, and he sat on the east side of the city, and there he made himself a shelter, and he sat under it in the shade, till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a great plant, and he made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm, and it so damaged the plant that it withered. And it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. Then he wished death for himself again and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." Then God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" And Jonah said, "It is right for me to be angry, even to death." But the Lord said, "You had pity on the plant for which you had not labored nor made it grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, and which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock?" So the first thing I want us to see as we look at this last chapter in the book of Jonah, I want us to see this pitiless prophet. Right in verse 1, it says, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. Wow. I don't know about you, but that was not the response that I would have expected from a prophet of God, from God's man. And we do get some clarity about Jonah here. You see, it's now clear why Jonah originally rebelled against God's calling to go and preach to the Ninevites. Jonah hated them. He despised them. And then we have to ask that question, why? Why did he become so angry? Why did he despise this people? And we find that answer in verse 2. So he prayed to the Lord and he said, "Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm." We see that answer in a very tiny two-letter word, the word "my." Jonah prayed, he said, "Was not this what I said when I was still in my country?" Do you see it there? My country. Jonah was angry because God extended his mercy, God extended his grace upon a nation, upon a people that were not Israelites. God extended his grace and mercy to a people that were not Jewish like he was. My country, we see it right there. Now let's look at verse 3. "Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Whew, what a selfish and dramatic reaction. Amen. Jonah, as we've seen, is quite a drama queen at times. Jonah is saying, "I would rather die than to see God spare this ungodly, this wicked, this pagan people who are not like me. They're not Jewish like I am." Jonah is saying, "God, how could you? They are ungodly Gentiles, not righteous Jews like us. They're different from us. They're not the same as we are." Jonah was being tripped up by the snare of sectarianism. Now, sectarianism is judging people based upon their race, their color, or their national origin, where they come from. A snare that can easily entangle all of us, and unfortunately, many times it does. Amen? It's a sin that we must guard our heart and our mind against continually, each and every day. God declares over and over in his word that he is no respecter of persons. What does that mean? That means that when God sees all of us, he sees us all exactly the same, irregardless of our color, irregardless of our nationality. It doesn't matter what title comes at the front of our name or what letters follow our name. It doesn't matter what our title is. It doesn't matter what our background is. It doesn't matter how much money we have. Amen? God sees us all the same. And in actuality, we all fall into the same category in God's eyes. And that category is sinner. Amen? Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We are all sinners. What does all mean? All means all, and that's all that all means. For all of us have sinned and we've come short of the glory of God. And that beloved, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." Underline that. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." For he so loved the world. It doesn't say for he so loved the Jews, or for he so loved the whites, or the Arabs, or the rich. For he so loved all of us the same. And the cross of Jesus Christ demonstrates this unconditional, unbiased, unprejudiced love that God has for all mankind. It's a relentless love that pursues us no matter where we are. Amen. And at the foot of Calvary's cross, we need to understand that the ground is completely level. And more importantly, there is room for all of us. Amen. Room for all. 2 Peter 3:9. For the Lord is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all, we see that word again, but that all should come to repentance. What is repentance? We need to understand that repentance has two parts to it. The first part is a turning away from our sin, and the second part is a turning unto Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord. Amen. We turn away from our sins and we turn unto Jesus Christ. And that is God's will for all of us, that none of us should die in our sins, none of us should perish, but that we should all come to repentance, turn away from our sins and turn unto Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Skip down to verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Again, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Jesus is our only hope. Why? Because he is our only mediator. He is our only Savior. He is the only one who stands between us and the wrath of God. Amen? He didn't come to condemn the world, but that through him the world shall be saved. A message that we need to deliver to every single person, irregardless of what they look like. Amen. Irregardless of what neighborhood they live in. Irregardless of where they come from. Jonah's lack of love for the Ninevites was clear. Jonah's heart was cold, and it was calloused, and it was closed to them. A people that had an incredible spiritual need. And his heart was closed to this people. Next thing I want us to see is I want us to see the pouting prophet. We considered that pitiless prophet. Now let's look at the pouting prophet. Let's go back to our original text. Let's look at verse 5. So Jonah went out of the city and he sat on the east side of the city. And there he made himself a shelter and he sat under it in the shade, till he might see what would become of the city. Jonah, in his self-righteous anger, leaves the city, and he builds a shelter for himself to sit upon, or sit under, to shade himself. And he folds his arms, you know, he puts up his feet, puffs out his lips, and he begins to pout. Can you picture that? He sits watching and wondering why God hasn't destroyed this city full of pagans, full of sinful Ninevites. In that pouting and self-pity, Jonah forgets something. And he forgets something extremely important. Jonah forgot how God spared him in his sin and his rebellion. It's a lesson, a great lesson, and a great reminder for all of us that we need to always be mindful about what God has done for us and where God found us. Amen. God found us right in the middle of our sins. And we need to be mindful of that each and every day. Amen. But praise God, he wasn't done teaching and transforming his prophet Jonah. Let's look at verse 6. And the Lord God prepared a plant, and he made it come up over Jonah, that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm, and it so damaged the plant that it withered. And it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. Then he wished death for himself another time. And he said, it is better for me to die than to live. Jonah was more concerned with his comfort than he was with the souls of the people of Nineveh. It's pretty harsh, isn't it? How can someone act like that? How can someone think like that? How can a man of God respond like that to a nation full of people? But if we were to stop and we were to take a look in that spiritual mirror, we would all see a little Jonah looking back at us, wouldn't we? Amen? If we were completely honest, we would all see a little bit of Jonah looking back at us. We're all guilty from time to time of staying in our comfort zone. We put our comfort above the needs of others. Think about how many will work night and day to afford their own comfort. Amen? Work night and day, long hours, volunteer for overtime so that they can buy that bigger home or that expensive car or those expensive toys, that bigger screen TV or the newest Xbox or whatever it might be. And then they believe that simply coming to church on Sunday mornings is enough to, you know, serve the Lord. Listen, the Bible makes it very clear. We serve the Lord by serving others, period. Amen? Jesus said, what you do unto the least of these, you do unto me. How do we serve the Lord? By serving one another. Let's look at verse 9. Then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? Jonah said, it is right for me to be angry, even to death. But the Lord said, you have had pity on the plant for which you had not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left? Now, many Bible scholars believe that this number, that 120,000, only refer to the young children. And that's why God puts here, who cannot discern between their right hand and their left. Many believe that this city had upwards of 500,000 people. And then God adds, and much livestock. We see here that, you know, Jonah does what most of us do. Jonah tries to justify his anger and his self-pity. And when he does that, God simply responds back and explains why he created that plant, that gourd. More than likely it was a gourd plant. And also why he sent that worm to destroy the plant. God was teaching Jonah. And why is that important to us? Well, we need to apply that lesson to our own self. God was not only teaching Jonah, he was also teaching us something. If Jonah was justified in being upset about a plant, let's think about that. A plant that he contributed absolutely nothing to its existence whatsoever, a plant that has no soul, then was God not justified in offering his mercy and his grace and his unconditional love upon the people of Nineveh, in whom he created in his own image. God created them, just like he created that plant and he sent that worm. God created the people of Nineveh in his own image, and he had the right to extend his mercy and his grace and his unconditional love. And I love how God ends and he adds, "and much livestock." God was saying, since Jonah was more concerned with a soulless plant than a city full of souls, then maybe he would relate better to a soulless a field of livestock, to some soulless cattle. Maybe he'd have mercy upon the city because of that cattle. Either way, God wanted Jonah to know that I created all of them. I created the people of Nineveh in my own image. I created the livestock. I created that plant. I created the worm that I sent. I created all of it. And therefore, I am justified in offering my mercy, my grace, and my love to whomever I will. Amen. And God closes the book of Nineveh with some stirring questions for his servant, for his prophet Jonah. Questions to get his prophet's heart back in the right place. Questions that need to stir up our heart as well. Question: are we putting our own comfort before the needs of others? Do we avoid praying for or do we avoid sharing the gospel with certain people just because we don't like them or we don't like where they come from? We don't like how they act. The Bible says, for Jesus so loved the whole world. For Jesus bled for the whole world. For Jesus gave his life and he died on Calvary's cross for the whole world. Amen. And I pray that our hearts, they align with the heart of Christ. A world full of lost souls is lying in the balance.